The Brad Sesmatch Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTapes.com studios.
Great Friday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmatch Sports. 360AZ.com. We're Arizona-centric. Things that we see going on in the world of Arizona sports. Also nationally, things that catch my eye a little bit off the center from what everyone else is doing. That's what we're all about. And of course, we're on AZ Central Sports, going to be partnered with the Arizona Republic on White Mountain Radio across the great state of Arizona. And on Twitter, you can get to me at Brad Sesmatt, C-E-S-M-A-T. Ken Kendrick is going to join us here in a few minutes, the Diamondbacks' managing general partner. Let's not sit here and dance around the slow start by the team, but I will say that last night's win in extra innings, I saw a little bit of something. I saw a little bit of fight to think that the owner would be happy with how things started out, but they go to San Francisco and they get a little bit of success. They have the Dodgers here tonight. So I'm hearing that Pedro Gomez got into it with Puig. So I want to know about this a little bit more and if that's going to be something to look forward to. Do we need boxing gloves? Do we need to get inside one another here? They're in town tonight. And, of course, Pedro, Ahwatukee resident. So we'll have some baseball with Ken Kendrick and of the Dodgers being here in town and much more. The Diamondbacks making a signing, I'll tell you about, reportedly making a sign. It's not done yet. And maybe the owner will talk to us about that as well. It is Friday, so as we always do, we've done it for 3 years. It's Goody at the Movies. Bill Goodykunch, chief film critic for Gannett, and of course, USA Today and AZ Central, because there's more to life, believe it or not, than sports. And there's a sports movie that's coming out this weekend that I've heard is just dreadful with Kevin Costner. It's called Draft Day. So I got to get Bill's review of Draft Day and just how bad was it. And if he's dealt with Kevin Costner before, and other stuff from Bill, too. I'm sure he's got a thought on Colbert taking over for Letterman. So Bill Goodykunch, Goody at the Movies. Eric is with us. We don't have a Facebook question today because there's just nothing at all that has caught your eye today. Is that where we're at on this one today? We have crickets again today?
I'm just kind of lazy.
Are so you? No, come on, it's Friday. No, it's fine. Exactly. We just have to come up with one.
Well, we're both wearing flip-flops, so clearly it's Friday because we do flip-flop Fridays here at Sports 360.
Now, people at home may think that I'm done up in like a designer suit today other than I'm wearing a golf shirt. You don't know. It's the old TV thing. Do you know how many times when I did the TV stuff, it was shorts and flip-flops with a dress shirt and a tie and a jacket? That's like standard operating procedure here in Arizona.
Wouldn't you freeze on the set, though, if you're wearing shorts and flip-flops?
Depends who was sitting next to me. Sometimes people sitting next to me, I would freeze because they were ice queens. That's just the way it was. Sometimes it would be like it was 110 degrees because I'm sitting next to someone. This is at a time, when you recall, not that long ago, where Channel 3 was loaded with drop-dead gorgeous women. And I'd have to walk in there and be, hey, sports guy. You know, how's it going? What's happening? Tell me about your day. So, you know, it's you now, so it's flip-flops and jeans. So.
No Facebook question today, Friday. But I am kicking around going to see that horrible movie tonight.
Well,
only because I can eat Harkins Movie Theater popcorn, and that's pretty
all
much
day
the,
long.
That's the only thing that can offset sitting through a really bad sports movie.
All day long you can eat that stuff. Now,
yeah, it's so bad for you, too.
But you know, we could open it up. We could be one of those shows that says we don't have a question. So because we've done stuff about the Coyotes making the playoffs till we're blue in the face. We've done the Sun stuff. We've done which team's going to make it. And we've done draft stuff every single day.
And we could do best sports movie. But I mean, that's
that's painful.
That's a tired one.
That's called walking in and saying, oh, what are we going to do today? Well, let's just mail this in and collect our check and do a couple of endorsements and just put together. Yeah, we're not going to do that. It's not happening. If something comes up, we'll throw it out there to you. Let us get you caught up on the things on my mind in the world of sports, because there is a lot going on. It's brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Man, this weekend, I'm thinking the White Mountains are going to be just popping. Gorgeous. All the summer, spring homes that you have up there around the valley and around the state. It's time to head up to Pine Top. And then, hey, honey, let's go pull down the slots. Let's go eat some food and have some fun and get away from it all for the weekend. Or maybe let's go out and just take a hike around the high country and then come back and live it up at the Honda Resort and Casino. Again, that's the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Honda Resort and Casino, they've been a part of us since day number one. Ken Kendrick here in about 10 minutes. So the Diamondbacks last night, I'll get into it with the owner. I want to advance the story because I think the story of the day is the Dodgers are in town. The Suns are backs against the wall and all that stuff. The Suns play tonight at San Antonio. They have a one-game lead over Memphis for the final playoff spot. The Suns are even with Dallas. They have Dallas tomorrow night, and it comes at a time where Goran Dragic has a sprained left ankle. He's sprained his left ankle three times this year, so he's had to gut it out. If the Spurs decide to hold out Parker and Ginobili and Duncan, we talked about this on yesterday's show at great length. Here's Al McCoy, voice of the Suns, who talked and hinted around that this may be happening. This was Al on what Greg Popovich may be doing tonight.
It's going to be interesting knowing Coach Popovich, as we both do.
Yep.
How's he going to play the game tomorrow night? Does San Antonio, would they rather play Dallas in the opening round of the playoffs, or would they rather play the Suns? And that might have something to do who Coach Popovich holds out of tomorrow night's game.
And right now, the reports are that it's Duncan, Parker, Ginobili. So we'll see when it comes down to game time. I myself think the Spurs could just punish the Suns. They could punish. They're the best team in the Western Conference. But if you get into a 1-versus-8 and it's a track meet and they find a way to shoot well, because this is a live-by-the-three, die-by-the-three-point shooting type of team. We can all agree on that. When the Suns go out and have their 4-for-19 from the floor, they get their heads kicked in. When they have their 11-of-19 from the floor, they usually win going away. So do the Spurs view the Suns as an easy out this year? And then you have the Dallas game tomorrow night. By the time we get together on Monday with Memphis, it's going to be really interesting, and it already is. But tonight is a huge, huge sports night in the Valley. Huge. One team is on the road, that being the Suns. Then you have the Diamondbacks in downtown Phoenix tonight. Last night, if you couldn't hang in, I hung in there last night. It was tough. Eric, did you hang in for the whole game?
The whole thing.
Did you?
The whole thing.
Did not offer anything?
I was committed. I started watching it around the second or third inning. I'm like, you know what? But you know why I loved watching it? Because I hate to use this word, but they showed a little grit. Gibby would be happy. Gibby is a grit guy. And last night, they actually showed a little grit.
I would think Ken Kendrick, when he comes on here in a few minutes, is going to be in a good mood today. If you lose those type of games, and here's how they won it if you went to bed. Montero had a two-run double against the Giants. That was great. But in the 10th inning, if I were to tell you yesterday on the show, here's what's going to happen. Cliff Pennington and Tony Campana are going to rally the Diamondbacks to the win. You would have said, are you nipping on the cooking, Sherry? Do you need to be tested? But that is exactly what happened in the 10th inning last night.
Little looper. Drops in over the glove of Hicks. Here's the throw from Pence, and Pennington scores. A four-hit night for Tony Campana, and the Diamondbacks lead it 6-5.
Tony Campana in the field last night looked like that guy at the airport when the planes come in and he's trying to direct them as to which way to go.
Yeah, he wasn't the only one, by the way.
No, I know. Everybody.
Weird things were happening out in center field. Yeah. So
I don't know. Was it the seagulls dropping loads on these guys?
It could have been the seagulls. It could have been the thick night air coming off the water. That's just typical San Francisco. The winds are always blowing in different directions depending on what inning it is.
No, but your point about grit, that's the first thing that you said to me
and
this morning.
And I hate that word. I really do, because it was so played up. But that's actually what we saw last night.
Be more creative.
Probably for the first time all season.
Something else. No, I would agree with you. I would agree with you. The fact that the Diamondbacks win in the fashion that they did, let's be honest here. They won in a fashion where it was not their ace on the mound. Anytime they can get anything on the W side out of the way this pitching staff has been, and it's not Wade Miley on the hill, at this point is a plus. Because we all know what it's like when Trevor Cahill goes to the mound right now. The numbers don't lie.
And when you have your starters only going into the fourth and fifth inning,
brutal.
It's a recipe for disaster.
No.
You're going to burn out that bullpen.
Well, it's like Boach last night ran out of guys, essentially. He ran through his
The
staff.
Giants used 8, I believe, last night.
Yeah. So Brandon McCarthy goes tonight against the Dodgers. There are reports today that the Diamondbacks are going to sign 37-year-old Randy Wolf, left-handed Randy Wolf. Remember when Randy Wolf, the Brewers and the Phillies, they all had their Wolf men, this group of guys that dressed up like wolves. I guess it's something to do at games. It's fine. They're actually having, what is it? Is it Night of the Living Dead? What are they calling it? They're doing this night at the Diamondbacks game where it's like, I heard them say it once, and it was like, oh.
No, I'm not sure.
Yeah. I'm more into the game.
It's going to be a Dodger home game for the next three
nights
anyway. No,
but it was dressed up like Star Wars night, except it's one of those. Ken will know. I should know, but I care more about the game on the field. So if they sign Randy Wolf, what am I supposed to say at this point? You've got to do something. And if they're going to hang on to Archie down on the farm because they don't want to start his clock ticking, I'd rather see Archie Bradley here at this point and say, okay, 2 years from now, let's address this financially. But they have their reasons. Johnny Manziel is back in it again because his Wunderlich test score was released by Albert Breer, the NFL Network. We have Albert on the show many times. I am sure that Albert didn't call like the person who submitted the Wunderlich test and said, how did Johnny score? You know it had to come from the agents. The agents have done an amazing job of setting up Johnny Manziel from every way, shape, and form, strategically putting it out there. There's those of you that already are on the, I hate Johnny Manziel, I don't want to hear about Johnny Manziel, and then there's those of you that can't get enough of Johnny Manziel.
And Johnny Football might have started a trend doing his pro day and pads and helmet because Zach Mettenberger did the same thing at his LSU pro day.
So Manziel scores a 32. Blake Bortles gets a 28, and Teddy Bridgewater scored a 20. We haven't heard Jadeveon Clowney score. Of course, there is the, well, black guy versus white guy. That's come out today. This whole thing with Manziel just explodes anytime he gets out on the field or something around him gets released by his guys. Of course, the Wunderlich scores for Eli Manning was 39. For Tom Brady was 33. For Andrew Luck was 37. This is all out there today. Tomorrow is U of A's spring football game. We're going to be there. Sports 360 AZ will be there. Jared Cohen will be shooting it, having lots of content and highlights up on the site. Tomorrow, there'll be, I don't know how many fans are going to get in Tucson, but I do know that at Ohio State tomorrow, Eric, it is their spring game tomorrow. They've dropped the tickets. They charge $20 a person to get into the Ohio State spring game.
As well they should.
As well they should. They dropped it down to $5. They're expecting a crowd of over 80,000 tomorrow for the spring game at Ohio State. Meantime, a week from now, when ASU has their spring game, through the years I've seen maybe, I don't know, 7,500, and they get excited. It's a whole different deal. So I'm going to get to that as the show moves on as well. But up next, Ken Kendrick, Managing General Partner of the Arizona Diamondbacks. He joins me on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. Good to be partnered with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
It's Good Friday. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports 360 AZ. AZ Central Sports, good to be partnered up with the Arizona Republic as they've been carrying the show now for the past 4 months on White Mountain Radio across the great state of Arizona and on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. Earlier this week, we were in Tucson, did the show with the U of A, and Rich Rod came out to join us with their spring football game tomorrow. And I was on a rant about the Diamondbacks. I wasn't happy with how things went. And I said, I am pretty sure Ken Kendrick cannot be pleased with what he has seen on the field. And Rich sits down next to me and he says, my guy Ken, and he's going to be all right. He's, you know, so just hang in there. Mr. Kendrick joins us now for a couple of minutes, Managing General Partner of the Diamondbacks, Ken Kendrick. How are you holding up here the first 12 games, Ken?
Well, I think I'm fine. My guy, Rich, that's interesting.
Your guy.
He's one of my favorites, no question.
No, he's...
he's doing a great job down there, too, by the way.
Well, and he said the same about you, but there's not been any concern on your part.
Well, now, wait a minute. I didn't say that. I was giving applause to Rich, who deserves it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, going 4-8 in the first 12 games was not what I had hoped would happen, and nor what I thought would happen. But it's a long season. I know that's the kind of a cliche to say when the team isn't doing well.
Right.
We've had other fast starts and ended up the season changing in the wrong direction. And you know, there's no reason in the world that if you have quality players, that you can't have a slow start. In a period of 162 games, a stretch of 4-8 depends on when it occurs. If started very fast, went 4-8, much wouldn't be said. But nonetheless, we have, you know, we have some challenges. And, you know, I'd be the first to recognize that. And I think it's pretty easy to see what we need to do to get better. You know, there's some good things, as I think anyone who observes it closely would see. I think we're, from a position player standpoint, we've got a pretty solid club. You know, not everybody's off to a fast start, but a number of guys are. You know, on the pitching side, obviously, we're pretty challenged right now. We, you know, we took two really tough hits with losing our number one starter and our eighth inning relief guy. That's sure. Not a great way to get a season started. So, you know, we're dealing with trying to overcome those things, but a good club does overcome adversity. That's part of sports.
If you and I were talking earlier in this week, I was really not happy with what I was seeing just as an observer of the franchise. But when you go to San Francisco and you are able to win a couple, mm-hmm. and the way that you won last night in particular, Eric and I were talking about that this morning, that I actually saw some fight. Eric used the term grit, although he's trying to find a better word than that.
It's not my word. I'm with him on that one.
Yeah. But it's a better feel today with the Dodgers coming in here, with the way that you were able to win last night, when you can win a game and say that Pennington and Campana were the guys that figured it out in the 10th inning. That's going to help you through the course of a season. So I get it from your standpoint. I'm not trying to overreact, but I think the first week and a half up before the Giants series was just – It was just painful in my
opinion. It wasn't what we had planned, and you know, anyone who follows the team closely can't be enthused by the first 12 games. I certainly recognize that, but again, a lot of games to play, and I think there's a pretty strong belief in this group and in their ability. And, you know, over time, we'll see if that belief translates out on the field.
There's a report today that you're going to sign Randy Wolf.
That's a possibility. You know, we're obviously in need of pitching. And, you know, I don't know the detail of this, you know, but as I understand it, you know, he made the club in Seattle and then ended up in some kind of a contract conflict with them that I don't know the full story on, but he walked away from them and is a free agent, and you know, might be somebody that could help us at this point.
Okay, but it's nothing that's done yet.
No, nothing that I can really make further comment
okay,
on.
Okay, that's fine. That's
you know,
fine.
he has an interesting history in the game, and certainly it was viewed that he had made the team, you know, with a minor league contract, you know, invite with a major league deal to come, and they couldn't get the details worked out at the end, so he, you know, he is available.
Well, if it does happen, you know, you can have Wolfman night, because I've seen that in Milwaukee around here, Philadelphia night, and I mean, you guys are doing some pretty interesting promotions, so I'm sure there's something there that you could do with him.
Well, you know, some of the things that we do work better than others, but you know, our game operations group and our marketing group are, you know, are first rate as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it's like this last week when the team was struggling and Eric and I were talking more about the $25 hot dog. I said, "That's you know what? That's not good."
No, of course it isn't. What you want to talk about is the quality of play and the character of the team and the you know the fact that we're playing in a way that propels us towards being in the playoffs. That's what, of course, the ultimate goal you always have is and. You know, we have a lot of talent on this club, so we want to be talking about those things, and right now we can't, and, you know, we need to go play a game. You play it one game at a time, and, you know, my view is that the best character is always, shows through adversity.
Mm-hmm.
So adversity is what we have right now. Let's see if the character shows through.
I agree with that. Ken Kendrick with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes. Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports on the Arizona Republic. And a White Mountain Radio and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. Questions I get asked about quite a bit. What is your view of Trevor Cahill and what can happen with Trevor Cahill here?
Well,
how do you pull him out?
It's certain. He's an enigma. I think maybe would be a word at this point that you could use because I thought it was well said in his own way by his catcher Miggy the other night. He said, you know, I go to the bullpen and he warms up, and I just think he has electric stuff. He didn't probably use that exact word, but, you know, that he just looked stellar in the bullpen. And as soon as we crossed the line into the game, he is a different cat, was the phrase
right.
I believe was said. And so there's something going on with him mentally that, you know, translates into how he performs when he gets out on that mound. And when you look back at his career, he's had a lot of success. And he's gone through, you know, some pretty difficult periods. And then all of a sudden he becomes, you know, his stellar stuff comes through and he performs very well. And we got to figure out how to make that who he is versus the guy that goes out there and struggles to throw strikes and then, you know, ultimately gives in and puts the ball in very hittable situations and obviously ends up with not good outcomes when he does that.
Last time you used the word enigma, you and I ended up in the middle of a firestorm. So I had to chuckle there for a second. But. No, but
well,
I think you're right, though,
maybe
Ken.
It's an overused word by me, but it is. You know, you listen to his catcher say what he does, and
yeah.
I think that does that word does apply.
Well, and here's the frustrating part for me, and you're sitting in the owner's seat, and I brought this up the last 3 days. When it's payday and you write a check and there's $20 million tied up and it's an 0-3 with an earned run average in the wrong direction, I mean, what else can you say? That's the thing that has got to be...
Well, what you do is you spend less time talking about it than you do working on it. And obviously his teammates, his pitching coach, his manager, you know, everybody, and you know, Trevor himself is dedicated to being successful. He's a very hardworking young man, and, you know, we remain. I think Kevin made some comments. I would echo them that you know, we remain hopeful that you know, he will get it together and be the Trevor Cahill that we've seen and seen here and we've seen in Oakland. You know, at times.
Do you need to go speak to him on this?
No, that's not my job.
Okay.
I mean, other than, you know, my job would be to give guys a pat. I mean, I don't go beat on the player. That's not the role.
I'm not suggesting that.
We have professionals, you know, that look at every single aspect of a player's performance, and you have specialized coaches in every area. You obviously have other folks that are much smarter baseball people than I am, and you know, it's their job to work with a player who is having challenges.
And I'm not suggesting on a negative side. I'm just suggesting, are you the type of owner that sometimes goes down and gives a pat on the back and an arm around in the face of adversity?
If things aren't going well and you know, I'll give them a, come on, hang in there. I know, you know, I know it's tough for you right now. I know you can turn it around. You've had success in the past, those kinds of things.
A lot of questions about why not Archie Bradley, and the answer I'm getting is – not from the organization, but the baseball guys, media guys, say it's financial. You don't want to bring the kid up and get his clock ticking.
You know, the media doesn't make our decisions. No disrespect to anybody. We make our own decisions. And Archie has pitched 21 games above A-ball in his life. One game in AAA this year. And he performed very, very well. You know, you saw him in the spring. He was very good, and then he was challenged. And I think he needs seasoning. He has the greatest of potential. He certainly has the possibility of being a number one starter, and, you know, we have a lot of belief in him. But I for one, in my judgment, and, of course, the baseball experts here's judgment really applies in this setting, as it does in all of the things that we do with the players. You know, we think he needs more time and grade. He has the tendency to walk too many batters and to get himself in somewhat difficult circumstances when he does that. And we saw it happen a couple of times this spring. We saw a couple of other spring outings where he got in some difficulty and got out. You know, but he's not as sharp and command. You know, he obviously has the stuff. I think anybody who has watched him pitch and would say he has incredible stuff. He has, you know, very strong competitive spirit, many, many good things. But, you know, he needs some time. You know, he pitches several games down in AAA, and, you know, he performs really well. You know, he'll get his opportunity.
Before I let you go, and I ask you this when we have these long talks, I appreciate your candor, but I also believe that you see this game from an ownership standpoint that's kind of unique from a lot of owners that I've dealt with through the years. So I do throw this out there. Is there anything else that you want to add that I haven't asked you about this start that you've heard, that you've read, that is, Brad, here's what's being missed here or what needs to change or what I'm pleased with? Anything that I haven't asked you about for this start?
That's a really high question. But, well, you know, it's a good one. Actually, interesting question. You know, I don't know that I have anything to say. I know that one thing I guess I could make a comment on is that you alluded to the media saying something about finances as a driver to a decision. You know, I think it's hopefully the media is aware. I know I am, you know, that we've hit about $115 million in payroll this year. Yep. That is easily the high water mark, you know, for the club. And, you know, we have expectations when you spend that kind of money. We have expectations of results. And so, you know, we're going to measure as we go forward. We're going to measure each player's contribution. And if we're not getting the outcomes that we think we should, you know, we're not afraid to make changes. And, you know, we're not at that place. We have some holes. You know, the thing I said earlier, I don't want to dwell on it, but, you know, we did get hit with, you know, with significant injury just the wrong time, you know, with Patrick Corbin and David Hernandez. And most clubs would have significant difficulty immediately recovering from that, especially when the part of the club that was impacted was probably where we were least talented, or less talented, maybe better said, less talented, less quality of talent than we might have in other places. And so, you know, we're in a place where, okay, let's stop, let's assess, let's see who's performing well, let's look at options that might be available to us. And so, you know, we're gonna do those things. And, you know, I'm somewhat repetitive in what I'm saying, but, you know, give these guys the opportunity to, you know, to go play more ball games. And then let's look at how they're doing.
It sounds like you're willing to add more payroll even.
Well, if we need to, we will. You know, it's not the time of the year where there are many absolute options available. You know, I mean, the way a baseball season works, as you well know, is early on everybody is kind of, you know, finding their place. You know, they've made their commitments. They're in the areas where we have issues. You know, there isn't a long list of guys that are standing on the sideline waiting to be signed as free agents. And there aren't teams that are ready to make moves to move guys at this stage of the game. So you've got to go play out more games, and the season evolves. That's one of the joys of baseball to me, is that it evolves. It's a long season with a lot of games, and things change during the course of the season. And opportunity, you know, problems arise. I mean, other teams get impacted by negative things happening to them, just like we've had some happening to us. Some of our opponents have taken a couple of shots across the bow already, and more are going to occur. And, you know, that will, you know, those situations generally present opportunity. The best thing about our current circumstance that I can say is we're in a very, very good position to make decisions to put a better team on the field if there are opportunities to find players who we think will help us do that.
I appreciate your time and your candor as always. Thanks.
Okay. Good to talk to you.
You too, Ken. Thanks. Ken Kendrick, managing general partner of the Arizona Diamondbacks. I'm getting a lot of notes here. Why aren't you asking him about the manager status? Because there's no reason to ask him about the manager status. It's 4-8. You know, it's about the players and where they are right now. And that's what needs to be asked. So take that for what it's worth and beat me up. But there's no reason. And I would, if I felt like there was a spot there. This is not, you're 12 games in. Let's not sit here and overanalyze where the manager and the GM are on this. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, going to be a part of the Arizona Republic on White Mountain Radio and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Man, there's so much going on. Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ, AZ Central Sports, going to be part of the Arizona Republic and on their site, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. Bill Goodykunz, Goody at the Movies, joins us in a few minutes about Draft Day, this NFL movie coming out this weekend, whether you guys should drop the coin to see it or not. Thus far, what I'm hearing is dreadful, horrid. I didn't even go to the screening of it. I didn't even know there was a screening of it. Wouldn't I have gone? Had some people out in Hollywood that said, you want to take the show out here and do the movie thing? No, we don't want to do that. It just looked painful. You can make things all around the NFL all you want. and try and sell it, and you'll have great success in 2014. I'm on the Mark Cuban side of the street on that. There is some NFL stuff, though, that I think is newsworthy and interesting. The Rams are in South Carolina today working out Jadeveon Clowney. The Rams own the second overall pick. The Rams already have Chris Long and Robert Quinn, a defensive end. Yeah, they may be getting long in the tooth, but they have them. The Texans have J.J. Watt. With the Texans with the number one pick, want Jadeveon Clowney. We're less than a month away from the draft. Or is there so much pressure that Johnny Manziel is the direction that they go on that? There's that going on in the NFL. On the Coyotes side of things, so I am going to get into that here for a second, because I think we're at a point where you have to be very straightforward about what is happening with the hockey team, and they'll get pushed to the back pages in the corner here over this weekend with the Suns and Spurs and the Dodgers being in town and all that, and I'm just not going to let it go by the wayside. They've lost six in a row at the worst possible time. Now, you can talk all you want, and here's last night in Nashville. The Preds are up. The Coyotes are trying to get something done. It just wasn't their night.
Cullen looking, leaves it for Fisher. Side of the goal case. In front for Hornquist. And he scores! Patrick Hornquist got the initial one-timer away. Grice made the stop. And Hornquist put home the rebound for a 2-0 lead.
And the Coyotes would lose 2-0. They've lost six in a row. They're two back behind Dallas. Here's Dave Tippett on no offense last night.
First couple of periods, we generated very little on the offensive side. Tight game. We took an offensive zone penalty to give them a power play that they got the lead, and then it was just chased from there.
So Dallas hosts St. Louis tonight. And if the Stars win tonight, it gives them the last spot. It eliminates the Coyotes. The Coyotes need to finish the season at least 1 point ahead of Dallas in the standings. The Stars have the first tiebreaker of more regulation overtime wins. So no matter what happens over the course of the final two games, the Coyotes need to do that. The Coyotes have San Jose and they have Dallas. So you've hit a wall, and here's where I think you've got to take a good, long, hard look at what's going on. This is not an easy conversation to have either, because I have said here, I am a fan of Dave Tippett and I'm a fan of Don Maloney. But, however, when a team is in a playoff crunch and they can't win a game, there is something more. I've just seen this through the years. When a team can't get their act together and they fade down the stretch, there's something wrong within the dressing room. There's something wrong within the organization. Not just we can't score some goals or our goaltender's hurt. No, there's something wrong when you go, and they'd fight me on this. It's fine. Oh, no, you're not there. You don't know. I know sports. I've seen it. When there's a bad stretch, when you're trying to make it into the postseason and you cannot win, this isn't a bad stretch. This is six games in a row they haven't won. When that happens, it tells me that there's something more going on here than just we can't score goals. They're not going to say what's going on. I mean, that's a sport where they won't even say if it's lower body or upper body injuries. That's the way it is. It's just an upper body contusion. That's what we're going to get, lower body contusion. There's something more wrong here, and I feel good saying this from people that I've talked to about the situation. Now, what is that roster like top to bottom? What's going on from an ownership standpoint? The ownership is in their first year, and they're going to look at this and say, well, we came close, but no, you didn't really. You fell apart. If you even play 500 hockey, you're in the postseason. So when you lose six in a row and you get that we just can't get enough offense, there's going to be some changes here. And there has to be. If you're the ownership group, you have to look at every person top to bottom, including the general manager and the coach. You have to. And anybody's like, well, that's ridiculous. I'm not saying that you make a change. What I am saying is, if we're going to get into the whole accountability thing, don't sit here and blame, well, we should have had this guy up top and this guy on offense and we would have had more offense. No. You've fallen apart, like in a huge, huge way fallen apart. So that's not good. And I don't want to let the weekend go. And if they get eliminated, which right now, for the chances of them making it in, slim and none. And they'll clean out their lockers on Monday and it'll be see you later. No, let's give this story a little bit of context here. So, and I'm not happy with what's going on that front. Tomorrow is spring football with the U of A. We've got Goody in the Movies here in a couple of minutes. Spring football will be down in Tucson tomorrow. Jared Cohen will be there around Rich Rod's team, doing quite a bit of content, tweeting and all that stuff around what he's seen. Sports360AZ is our Twitter account, putting up some content. Here's how things work in the Pac-12. So tomorrow morning at 11 a.m., Colorado is going to have their spring scrimmage on Pac-12 Network. Not a chance that I'm going to watch it. Probably DVR, not going to watch it. Then we have U of A. Yeah, I'm probably going to watch that in real time. I'm going to make the time to watch some of it or record the whole thing. Stanford's day is tomorrow, too. And their day is at the exact same time as the U of A. We won't see it here in Arizona because the Pac-12 network is now separating, going by regions. Pac-12 Bay Area will show the Stanford Cardinal spring game. Pac-12 Arizona will show the Wildcats spring game tomorrow. It'll be a good chance to look at the receivers tomorrow. It will be a good chance to check out, obviously, all the quarterbacks, but Rich already said on the show, day before yesterday, down in Tucson, there's been a little bit of separation, but he's not in any hurry to make a decision, even though that's what everybody's going to be talking about. I think I'm more interested to see what happens at running back for the U of A tomorrow, because the whole notion of replacing Kadeem Carey, that doesn't happen. That just doesn't happen. He's one of those special running backs, obviously. So I kind of want to see Gerard Randall. He's the redshirt junior quarterback who spent a year at LSU, went to junior college, joined the Wildcats, very dark horse candidate at the quarterback position. But I've been hearing some good things about Gerard Randall. One day it could be Randall as the starter. One day it could be Connor Brewer as a starter. One day it could be a new Solomon as a starter. I myself would be surprised if Jesse Scroggins comes out of the quarterback group as the guy after the injuries that he had. It would even surprise me more if he's even in Tucson after they're done with spring football. Nobody's told me that, just reading tea leaves. So that's going on tomorrow. And with all the spring football stuff that's happening, yeah, I need to watch Stanford because the Cardinals lost quite a bit. When you lose Scove and Murphy for the NFL on the defensive side of the football and you're Stanford, I got to watch Stanford. I've got to see what's going on up there. They've got a great culture. They've got a great program. But can you get their defense together to go back and win a Pac-12 title? So it's a big college football weekend for me. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. On the other side, Goody at the Movies.
We're on your mobile phone and tablet at Sports360AZ.com.
Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, and it's Friday, and we want you to have a life and get out for the weekend, it is time for Goody at the Movies. Bill Goodykoons, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. Goody at the Movies. How are you?
Oh, I'm all right. I'm in my backyard because I thought it would be, it's kind of nice out, and there are birds and stuff. I thought it would sound like I was at the Masters, but actually what it turns out to be is like barking dogs and planes flying overhead and all this stuff. It's like I'm in John Daly's trailer or something.
Well, it's actually your usual deal. The dog's barking, that's been a staple, so it's fine. I've heard planes in the past, but the birds, you know, the birds at the Masters are fake birds. Those are sound effects, right?
I thought they deny that.
Yeah. Okay.
They deny a lot of things.
Yeah. No, we actually have birds chirping. Sure you do. Very loud and clear birds. I'm not, I shouldn't be so cynical about it, but I am.
I used to have birds, like two parakeets, because my kids gave me parakeets for Christmas one year because I told them when I was a kid I got them. It was really cool. I really like getting them. But it turns out, when you're the one who has to clean up after the bird, they're disgusting.
Yeah, you just want them to go away.
Well, they finally went to that. They really went into the sky or whatever. But they would chirp all the time, and I would be talking to someone. I would be talking to, Jim Carrey or something, and you hear this chirping, and then often they would say, "Are there birds in the back?"
And yeah. And you're like, yes. Kids, get the dang birds out of here! Shut them up! Are you a Masters guy? Do you watch it?
Yeah, sure. I mean, but I'm more of a Masters guy when Tiger's playing, and that's obviously been a change over the last 20 years now. But I've been reading some things about how Tiger's just taking over golf too much now, and now we see, they're apologists for him and all this stuff. I think it's more interesting when he's playing. I don't say anybody can deny that. I like living in a world where Tiger Woods is still winning majors, And I know not everybody does, but I like seeing history. I like seeing stuff that people haven't done before.
Well,
I like it when he's good.
It's like when I see Gary Player and Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer earlier this week go do their thing. I kind of like that. I mean, I really like that still. It's kind of hard to watch them age, but it happens, and it's going to be that way. When you and I are doing the rocking chair test, right, and we're sitting there in a rocking chairs, and they have Tiger Woods, if he manages to struggle out there when he's 60 and he can't bend over because his back is fused together and his knees are shot, and he still manages to hit a shot, it will take us back to our youth.
You make a good point. I hadn't thought of that. Like, who's it going to be, Tiger and like BJ Singh or something?
Yeah, I mean, they'll roll Phil out, right? When Phil and Tiger, you and I are both going to be those guys when we're in our 60s, because we're right around the same age. When we're in our late 60s, 70s, we're going to look forward to the Wednesday of the Masters for the Masters, because they're going to roll those guys out. That's how it's going to be.
I think you're probably right, because I think that for the people that liked, you know, who still, not, you know, everybody likes Jack Nicklaus because he was so great, and we kind of caught, you know, the tail end of his greatness there.
Sure.
And certainly he was still good enough that you were aware this was the guy, you know. But, I mean, I think that Tiger dominated golf, you know, the beginning of the century here, like nobody in our lifetimes, right? I mean, and I thought that was pretty great. And I thought, and other people thought it was bad for golf. I said, no, that's why people are watching. And that's why the other players like it. You know?
Well,
poor Ernie Els had, like, one of the best years anybody's ever had. And he didn't get a thing.
Well, it's like old-timers day in basketball, or baseball, I should say. It's like when the Suns put somebody up in the Ring of Honor and it takes you back to, yeah, I remember him playing. That's all well and good. It's all about sports. This weekend, myself, I think Adam Scott is probably the guy that I believe is going to win. I don't know Adam Scott that well. I liked him last year when he won. I don't think this is going to be Phil's year again. But, yeah, I
like
mean, the Tiger
fine.
Thing.
I like him fine, but on Monday, unless it's Tiger or Mickelson, it goes away. The story ends, you know?
Well, that's true, but... So let me just segue then from the golf over to this movie. Here's another sports movie that to me appears to be nothing more than Moneyball around the NFL. Am I on target? And I liked Moneyball, but just based on what I've seen off this movie, Draft Day, I don't think I'm going to like this.
Well, you're partially right, but Moneyball is actually good.
Yeah, no, it was.
I liked Moneyball. Moneyball, some people complained it wasn't accurate. The agent never really won anything. They, you know. But, you know, it was not a documentary. I mean, it was a, you know, it was a movie. It was a fictionalized version of what seemed to be an unfilmable book. But this is basically, I mean, I guess you could call it a commercial for the NFL or something. It's just, I think that there was a good movie to be made there, and probably there still could be. But I mean, it's what it sounds like. Kevin Costner, who, you know, big sports guy, and I talked to him.
Sure.
I talked to him last week, and. He said, you know, I've only made like four or five sports movies, but they're, you know, since they did well, those are the things everybody thinks about. And, you know, Costner is kind of, a lot of people don't like him, but he is an interesting guy. He and his brothers invented a machine that would take the oil out of the water after the hurricane in New Orleans. And, I mean, that's pretty cool, you know, and they tried to get the government to use it.
Sure.
What happens is that he's the general manager of the Cleveland Browns. And so it is literally draft day. And on this particular draft day, which is the busiest day of the year for a general manager, he is beset with all these personal problems by people who bring these problems to him who know that this is not the day that you would never do that. His mother wants to scatter his father's ashes, and she has to do it right now, 2 hours before the draft. And it's like, his mother is, the dad was a football coach. His mother would never do that. You know, it's like, and the capologist is, you know, Jennifer Garner, and I don't want to give too much away, but there's something, they have this relationship, and something big is going on there, and it has to be this day that they talk about it. At least in that case, sometimes Costner will say, look, can we step away from this and talk about this as business first? Can we just talk in our business roles? I don't know. Costner's a likable guy, but it's so implausible. You don't have to be a football fan to sniff out how implausible this is.
But Ivan Reitman directed this, right?
Yeah, Ghostbusters, man.
Yeah, I mean, we're not talking about some stiff here, but just off what I've seen of the previews in the trailer, it has the product placement. Let's partner up with ESPN. Let's put it out a month before the draft. It'll get some people buzzing about football. Football sells, football sells, football sells. We'll even lead it up to the draft. We'll give it a second run. We'll get it on DVD when the season starts. It'll make a nice Christmas present. Am I about right on the marketing side of this whole thing?
I think you are. I'm surprised I didn't actually wait until a little closer to the draft. But the you really hit on something there, though, that like the ESPN personality is just all over this thing.
Yeah.
The first voice you hear, guess who the first voice you hear in this movie?
God, if it's Chris Berman, I'm just going to gag. I mean, come on.
Then gag.
God, it is Chris Berman.
It's like if you and I sat
painful.
Down.
You're talking me out of this, Bill.
If you and I sat down at a table, had a couple beers, and thought, like, let's come up with like a sort of a parody of a movie that would be really cool, a really fun sports movie to watch. Don't you think one of the first things we would say is like, well, we got to start with Berman.
We got
to have Chris Berman before anybody else in the movie talks. You know,
I wish
Costner would make another really great movie. It doesn't have to be sports. I just like to see him do something good again.
No, I agree with you on that. Bill Goodykun's Goody at the Movies with us. Stephen Colbert taking over for Letterman. I said this when it came out earlier in the week. I was very interested to hear what you had to say. I'm fine with it. I've seen the I think his humor is smart. I think it is a shift in late night show because where we see Fallon and Kimmel, you can't just be another one of Fallon and Kimmel. You can be somebody completely different. But for CBS, are we seeing this as a political shift? Can he really do Kevin Costner talking about a movie and do it well?
I think he can. I mean, he's going to leave his, you know, Colbert reporter persona behind. So he's not going to be the sort of blowhard Bill O'Reilly fake conservative guy.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you think like he was a reporter on The Daily Show before this, and so I think that those skills will actually serve him well here because, you know, they're sort of goofy interviews, and Letterman's interviews are kind of goofy. You know, but he doesn't need to be Letterman. He shouldn't be Letterman. He should be Stephen Colbert. He's a really smart guy. He's an actor. He's a singer. He's a dancer. He does all this stuff. And like you say, he's really smart. And I read something that my pal at Time Magazine, James Poniewozik, wrote, and it was really good. He said, this guy has, for like 7 years or whatever it's been, he's done a pretty, like, kind of like a real-time performance playing a role where he has to be quick-witted every night. The guy can, you know, he's not going to have any trouble adjusting. I think that's true. And I also think I can't think of anybody else particularly better that I would like to see do it. I also think, you know, I was writing something about this yesterday, just kind of dashing something off as we do now. So, you know, get it in there, get it first.
Right. Get the click out of it, sure.
But I was sitting there thinking, this is a pretty great time for late night. It's a shame I'm too damn old to enjoy it.
You guys are on too late. I mean, I
they're not even on late here. You know, think about it back east, you know. But when I was in college, I stayed up late to watch Letterman because it was so different and it was so great and it spoke to me, you know. Now, if you're in college, look at what you've got. You got Letterman for another year, then you're going to have Colbert. You got Kimmel, who I think is really good and really underrated. And you've got Fallon, who is really talented and very entertaining in a completely different kind of way. That is not a bad selection right there.
See, I'm fine with Colbert. I would have been fine with Ellen DeGeneres. I would have been fine with Howard Stern. I would have been fine with those two. Those are names that I think, but in Ellen's case, she's killing it during the day. Why go do that? Why go be on four? Don't be the Michael Strahan where you show up on every network and do every last bit of something. And Stern's doing what Stern's doing. He does it really well. So,
well, and Stern would have to take a pay cut.
Take a pay cut. Yeah, no, there'd be a pay cut. Sure. I mean, in Colbert's case, and Jon Stewart, I was rooting for him a little bit in the back of my mind because
he didn't want it.
Yeah, I know. But
guess how much Jon Stewart makes.
He makes a little more than you and I combined.
He makes about $25 million
a year.
Yeah. That.
Yeah. And he has control, too. He's not having these nitwits. That's what I see when I watch what I've seen in the last few years of late night television. It's let's get a guest on and we've got 5 minutes or 7 minutes. And if we don't get it, then too bad. We're done. We're going to a commercial break. Doesn't matter how brilliant it is. Doesn't matter how great it is. It used to be, I showed up and I got bumped because something really magical was happening. That's gone
right
now. And so taking risks in late night, to me, is something that I want to see more of. So, I got to let you go off that. I got to let you go off that. Time's out.
All right.
I talked too much today. I'm sorry. I'll see you soon.
It was interesting. I like listening.
All right. There's Bill Gutekunst. Goody at the Movies with Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. Eric, are we thinking about going to see Draft Day, like, this afternoon, or?
No, I'm going tonight.
Are you really going to go?
I'm going for the popcorn, I told you.
Is she going with you?
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
No. She's like, if you want to go see it with your guy friends. I don't want to see it.
Yeah, you're ready to be married then. That's a good answer. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We're on Twitter, too, at Brad Sussmat. Plenty of content. Check us out, AZ Sports, Sports360AZ.